Live from Jackson's Bar and Grill, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Giveaway time, 364-1100, 364-1100. Two tickets to go see Joan Jett in town. Residency right now at the House of Blues. That's a fantastic venue. Great sound. You know, not every place in town that has bands play, singers play, is great for the sound. Most aren't, but that place is really good. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts coming up. Friday show. She's playing just a couple more days. 364-1100, caller 7-364-1100. You can get your tickets if you don't win these at Ticketmaster.com. I was looking up Joan Jett last night because it just so happened that the SO had a couple of friends in town who were going to see Joan Jett. So we actually dropped them off over at House of Blues. She's born in 58, so I think she's 66. And I've seen her, not in person, seen her. I know,
she'll birthday's 67 this year.
Birthday's a little later. I've seen her before. She can still belt it out.
Let's
still awesome.
Throw out these throwback. Forget about these throwback concerts that we're seeing now, where all these, right, in the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of groups come back together. New Kids on the Block's about to do a residency type thing. Right? Let's go back to our younger days, teenage, 20, or whatever. Can you think of somebody who... Like, I can think of some big names that I've been to, either in showrooms or at the Thomas and Mack concerts where there weren't these big festivals. Is there something, is there like a smaller venue or something that you absolutely were shell-shocked by that you did not expect, or where the co-main blew away the main? Is there something you can think of way back when? I know the one right off the top of my head, and it just resurfaced because this past weekend I watched a three-episode series that involved this person, but it was easily one of the biggest show stealers, individual efforts that I've ever seen.
I'm the wrong person to ask, because if you're asking me that I saw it in the past, like I wasn't a real big concert goer, so I've gotten into it more lately. Nah. So who was your choice? Who was it?
Ham Hall, UNLV. The headliner was Ready for the World in 1987, February of 87.
87, okay.
The opener was Bobby Brown when his first album dropped. His first album dropped, and he did an opening set. Yeah. He had the entire place rocking. And he got done, and I swear, everyone was drenched from sweat and dancing and everything. It was stunning because we looked up and we were like, we still got a whole show to go.
Yeah.
And it was just wild because he broke off from New Edition. It was really good. Another one that stole the show for me, too, Angel Stadium in Anaheim.
Okay.
I went to go see U2.
Right. Who opened?
Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, wow.
Stole it. Ridiculous. Great show.
Actually, I do have at least one I can remember. Again, I wasn't a big concert goer, but the lady I was dating in college was. And she was in Philly, and we went to see a guy named Peter Murphy. The opener actually was Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, really?
There was no one there.
Oh, wow.
Like, maybe 400 in a theater that held 1,500, and they were awesome. I didn't know who they were. And now look, right?
That's how Ham Hall was, like 1,500.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
It's nuts.
So
there you go. I can build another topic off of that one, but okay. we'll get to it another day. Yeah, like I said, I'm getting more into music now, and especially watching some folks that I'm blown away by who are still doing it and really doing it well. Okay, so news today from the Dodgers. Now, I may be the only sports talk host in the country who's talked about this with attendance at sporting events, with what's going on with the ICE raids. And if you hear that, you hear me talking about it, you're like, this guy. Like, no, it's reality. And it's an issue in Las Vegas where we've got big events coming up. I'm telling you that Allegiant Stadium hosting Canelo and Crawford on Mexican Independence Day, the promotion is going to be built on Mexican-Americans, Canelo fans flocking to town and buying those tickets to push it to 50, 55,000, 60,000. But if there is a fear of going to sporting events, then I don't think people are going to feel comfy showing up. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are like, well, if you're legal, you're fine. Are you? Because we've seen a lot of examples where, hey, let's just scoop them up. You got to get to a certain number, right? They have a daily quota. Scoop people up. And, yeah, they have a goal every day. Scoop them up and then clear them afterwards. Like, I don't really want to go to a sporting event where I might get arrested. And, oh, it's all, you know, you're only detained for a little bit. I don't want to be detained, right? So the Dodgers just sent out a tweet about 6 hours ago that said ICE actually asked for permission to comb the parking lots during Dodger games. And the Dodgers said no. They also made it public, which I think that's very strategic because, you know, they had that thing with, who was it, Neza? National Anthem singer who sang in Spanish. And she claimed she was told, do not sing in Spanish, sing it in English. She did it. You saw the video of her. She was very emotional. These are emotional times for people. And the Dodgers, I'm not even going to say drag their feet on coming out and pushing back on some of the social media that was getting really pissed off. Like, hey, Dodgers, you know, what are you doing here? My guess is they had a little, you know, brain trust there and they had to work it out. This one, I think on the heels of the controversy, they put that out publicly. So that's, please, anyone who's been thinking like Cofield's wrong, he's just stirring up something, I'm not wrong. Because I'm also thinking on if I were running ICE, you know, if I'm homing, I'm going to sporting events. Now, I don't agree with that, but that's what I would do. But how about that? Dodger Stadium, they'd be out there just looking for people.
Two things.
And I don't know that they'd be that discerning in who they scooped up.
Two things. One is I was very shocked at their tweet that said, asked permission. With everything that we've seen, you'd think that they just said, we're coming in. We don't need your permission. Two, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, so I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if you addressed it earlier in the week, did you have a problem with her decision in singing the national anthem in Spanish?
I don't. But I also, I think it's a song that should be left up to lots of interpretations, and as I've kind of joked but also seriously said, like, what are we doing here? Are we going back to the All-Star game in Detroit?
I don't ever.
We're getting all worked up.
I don't have a problem with it, and there's no reason to get worked up. But what I would like to know, on the flip side of it, you mentioned Mexican Independence Day, the Canelo Crawford. Every time that there's a May fight or a September fight, and Canelo's involved, or someone of Hispanic, Mexican, right, they sing the Mexican national anthem. Would those people of that ethnicity have a problem if they sung the Mexican national anthem in English? So I don't have a problem with one way. I always look at it like, hey, I don't have a problem with this. I just put the shoe on the other foot. What if that? What would be the reaction if when that song is sung in the middle of Allegiant Stadium and for Canelo and he makes his entrance or he gets in and he's in, then they'll do the national anthem and the Mexican anthem. What if they do it in English? Would the crowd have a problem with it? It's in America. We're singing your song. We're going to do it in English because we're in America.
Never thought of that.
No? That's why I always say, I'm just wondering. I'm not saying, well, hey, what's good for the goose? I'm just asking, what would the
reaction
be?
Good question
be?
To throw out there. So. Now the update on the story with the Dodgers saying, hey, ICE wanted to come in the parking lots. Now the feds are saying, nah, that's not what happened.
Oh, so okay.
But that has kind of been the response on a lot of the controversial stories out there. Like, yeah, that's not what happened. So who do you believe? Yeah, Dodger Stadium, the tweet said, this morning ICE agents came to Dodger Stadium, requested permission to access the parking lots. They were denied entry to the ground by the organization. Tonight's game will be played as scheduled. The Department of Homeland Security said that the agents who were at Dodger Stadium were not from ICE, and their presence wasn't related to the immigration crackdown that, as this author said, roiled Los Angeles. Well, the problem is, how do we know where they're from? Right? Isn't that one of the central problems? There's like they're not IDing themselves, so how would you know?
Exactly. So maybe they were nice.
The confusion has already been created. Maybe they won't ID themselves.
Maybe they're both right.
Says
maybe
here,
what the Dodgers believed to be ICE coming in and asking permission, but it wasn't. You remember back in the day here in Vegas when the Nasty Boys, part of the North Las Vegas gang unit, and they had all the ninja gear?
That, no.
Okay, they were all, so they had a gang. They even made a show about it. That's where the song came out. Bad Boys, what you gonna do? Right? They did the show on Friday nights, Nasty Boys. They filmed it. It was the North Las Vegas gang unit. There were people that were dressing up in all black, putting their mask on and banging on doors. And when they'd open it, they'd kick it in and saying, "We're the Nasty Boys." And they'd get, and they'd gun, hold them at gunpoint and put them face down as if they were the Nasty Boys. And then they'd rob the people. So what if the people that showed up at Dodger Stadium was not ICE? So now the feds are saying that wasn't us.
They're claiming that it actually was U.S. Customs and Border Protection, not ICE. I mean, have you been to Dodger Stadium?
Yes.
Okay, so it is kind of isolated. You know, once you get through the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Echo Park.
I mean, as CNN is calling it, they're saying Elysian Park, neighborhood of Los Angeles. Stadium setback from main roads by winding access drives for to the acres of parking lots that surround the stadium. So I don't know. I just know this. On the Dodger side of things, they probably need to make statements like this. Because now it comes down to business. I mean, I don't know if you saw the link I put in the rundown, but yeah, I was kind of serious, but kind of joking that Pope Leo's Mass at the White Sox Stadium probably should have been a raid zone. If you want to meet a quota, then churchgoers or not, go scoop people up. And apparently there were a couple of raids on L.A. churches in Nashville. There was a story about attendance at masses is down. So, well, whether you believe it or not, reality is that at meeting points for people, many people are like, "No, thank you."
And now with this announcement, right, that the Dodgers put out, and whoever it was, do places like Phoenix, Arlington, Houston, Miami, do they all now need to, right, along the border? Do they all need to sort of be wary? And we're talking about some red states. So do they need to be wary as to who's going to maybe infiltrate their ballparks during homestands? And
well, that would be wild. If they're actually in ballparks.
I say on the ground. Okay. I don't mean in. I mean, right. I'm just saying.
They buy tickets, they're in.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean in the ballpark. I meant going into the parking lot of the stadium of the ballpark.
Can I see your papers? I'm eating a hot dog. I'm just watching a baseball.
I'm here with my son. We're having popcorn.
Nope, sorry. Get up. Get out.
Peanuts, cracker, and apple jack, or Cracker Jacks.
It's really not a laughing matter. We're laughing about it, but I'm not being crazy right on Canelo and Crawford. This is a mega event for the city. It cannot flop. If we moved it to the stadium to get 20,000 people, what's the friggin' point?
But you made the point yesterday as to who the special guest at UFC events.
Well, I said Dana White is really good friends with President Trump. So I would assume they would talk and say, "Hey, please." But like it's stuff like this. I mean, we already know the feds are, you know, very much in a PR battle right now with Los Angeles and the state of California. Does that happen to us at some point? I just want this boxing match to work. And, you know, I think it's cool if people can just go and feel like they're comfortable going to events.
I mean, especially on Mexican Independence Weekend. I mean, going back to the Dodgers, like I think, like you were saying, they're in a PR battle with L.A. and the state. I mean, the Dodgers, you look at Nezha, her TikToks that went viral and showing her and the actual scene of somebody from the Dodgers telling her to not sing the song in Spanish. Like, They're kind of showing their hand as just a kind of a corporate greedy business that are, you know, they're just trying to get ahead of all the, you know, negative news lines and everything going on with this.
I don't like to say that if I don't know who told her that, what level of management. Sometimes there's miscommunication. Sometimes people overstep their bounds in middle management, kind of don't think through the bigger picture. So I don't know all the particulars of that one.
Here's where,
but I get your point, Griffin.
Here's where it's sort of there. It's, I don't know if this is a good example, but it just, so you choose to sing it in your interpretation, meaning in your language, right? How about how many times Kenny G or David Sanborn's been invited to do their interpretation is doing it with a saxophone?
Imagine, sing it.
Their jazz
don't
is,
use a clarinet.
Their language is jazz, right? Or you or guitar players, their languages with a guitar.
Yeah.
So she did her interpretation of it.
I've never really understood the hubbub over people judging the national anthem and how it's done. So,
except for, what was it, Fergie, who gave her a rendition?
No, there are some.
There's only been one bad, really, really, really bad that stands out in my head. I mean, I'm sure there's... Well, Carl Lewis was... I would say
Roseanne Barr was pretty bad.
She got through
it. And then kind of spitting at the end, spitting on the ground. I mean, doing it poorly is one thing. I don't know. To me, it's a kind of song that can be left open to interpretation. You want to do a different mix of the song. If you served in the, you know, if you served the country, maybe you feel differently. 33 members of my family served going back to World War One, so they have thoughts. You can all have your thoughts. I just think getting worked up over the national anthem, a lot of people started weaponizing it around the Kaepernick time. I'm personally kind of past it. But, man, we'll see. Coming up here with the attendance at, you know, the other issue is, and it would be crazy because it is one of the most evil organizations that is all about profit, but FIFA does have to start looking at policy and attendance for the 2026 World Cup.
Has soccer attendance dropped in since all this?
Yes. Well, I can't say that it's because of this. I think it has something to do with it. Yeah, there were a lot of friendlies and the, you know, Gold Cup primers the last 2 weeks, and the attendance was horrible. There was a pretty big game in Atlanta at that at their dome. I mean, it looked like there was less than 10,000 in 60,000 seats. And I told you the Mexico Dominican game at SoFi on Saturday, probably 40,000 with zero people sitting in the upper levels. So something's affecting it. I mean, I think people who hate soccer would be like, well, soccer sucks, see? Well, then, if that, whatever the case is, right, people are afraid to go to the games or soccer is dying in this country, then FIFA should look at it and go, well, this isn't going to work. But we need to get the hell out now. I don't think they will. It will, FIFA.
No.
Very high standards of FIFA. No, the only standard they have is if they really think it's going to affect the bottom line, then they're not going to. They will make a change, but I don't think they have the nuts to. And American advertisers will advertise for a World Cup that's not here, but I'm sure the dollars, because it is, the U.S. is one of the hosts. The dollars are probably through the friggin' roof, so they're not going to turn their back on corporate sponsorship.
Quick update, as we are here at Cofield & Company, Willie and Cofield at Jackson's Bar & Grill on West Flamingo. We are approaching tip-off of NBA Finals Game 6. Oklahoma City, 5.5. Total is 222.5. Trying to wrap things up. Up 3-2 on the Pacers. And in the WNBA, the Phoenix Mercury playing on the back end of a back-to-back after playing in Connecticut yesterday. Currently leading the defending champion New York Liberty 45-43 midway through the third. And the nightcap tonight, Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever minus 11 in San Francisco against Natalie Nicasse. Surprising Golden State Valkyries that as of right now at the quarter pole are in the playoff mix.
Dinner craft starting to roll in, taking advantage of the $20 steaks, 1 pound ribeye, $20, garlic marinated bistro filet is $20. You get the veggie of the day. There's 7 different sides. By the way, if you want to do add-ons like grilled mushrooms, onions, garlic butter, that's all available. Willie got a medium burger earlier.
It's the burger, right? Cheeseburger.
I'm saying medium.
Oh yeah, medium.
Medium. Okay. It was cooked. It was cooked good. You didn't have to send it back.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Extra crispy fries.
How were the fries?
Phenomenal.
Extra crispy is the best. Well,
I woofed.
I never saw you. I saw you take the first bite. And I turned around. I'm like, it's gone.
It's gone.
Competitive eating.
And big burger. Huge. And timely. I asked the girl. I was like, I said the show starts in 38 minutes.
I need it pronto.
She came back in like 8.
By the way, breakfast, midnight to 4 p.m., you can get the 1 pound ribeye. With eggs, if you want.
I might come in.
You might do it after the show.
No,
Your appetite is unquenchable.
I'm going to get a dinner that's going to have to come with me because I got a dog waiting for me. But this is a perfect spot where I come off the mountain, like around 6 a.m. after the hike, and just race over and grab that steak and egg special.
Coming up, let's get to what's going on with the Raiders. Interesting story on Geno Smith and The charity softball game, Battle for Vegas. We're starting to find out about the lineups, and a familiar face, but not actually on the Raiders, is on the Raiders team.
It's Cofield and Company, live from Jackson's Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
$5 happy hour going on right now. Get the Club Tails, the Estrella Jalisco, several other drinks available. Ask your server, your bartender, to come down here. Great spot. I was actually here last night hanging out with the SO.
Scouting.
I mean, I've been here a million times, but why not? Let's get in the pictures.
We were on the show together yesterday.
Okay.
We were at BBBC.
Yes.
You didn't invite me.
Well, it was a weird deal.
Oh.
Like I said, she had friends in town. We dropped them off
and said, let's
over on at Mandalay for House of Blues for Joan Jett. And then we were killing some time to meet back up with them. So we actually hit a couple of different places.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So big stories today. Dodgers claiming ICE said, hey, we want to get access to the parking lots for your games. Dodgers saying we denied them access. Shedeur Sanders, I thought this was a minor story, but now it's getting bigger. The rookie quarterback, fifth-round pick, the guy who slid. Worst slide ever. Can't understand it. Well, he got popped for driving 101 on a 60 the other day. And again, I will say a million times, I am not one to sit here and judge. If you're driving like a lunatic, that's not the point. But then we find out about 2 hours ago that he had gotten popped for a ticket about 3 weeks before this. Actually, not even. June 6th for driving 91 in a 65. Did not go to court for that one. Is this too much? Because I'll give you a guy who I think jumped on this whole thing prematurely. And what I mean this whole thing is what I'm seeing on film, what I'm seeing in practice, that's the guy. Shedeur Sanders is the starter. That was Colin Cowherd who was saying that for the last 2 weeks. And I'm like, I don't know, Colin. They got to be careful. I wouldn't judge training camp and, you know, mandatory minicamp too seriously. Colin said, I'm out. All right. That's all it took. Is that too much? CEO of the franchise, a couple of driving incidents and not going to court in between. Does that kind of tell you, hey, this ain't the guy to run the franchise or to build it around?
Certainly not the guy to hand the keys to the vehicle, the offensive vehicle.
I would not want to be doing sports talk in Cleveland, but I can only imagine doing sports talk right now in Cleveland since you've been talking about Shedeur Sanders over and over and over again. You want to talk about a caller bonanza? People are probably flipping out.
You know, since we're relating a lot of our conversations today to movie scenes, reminds me of a scene, one of the best scenes between Silvio and Tony Soprano. Because I've known you a long time, Tony. Because what's your point? I don't need the preamble. He says, you have a problem with authority. I think that's what Shador's problem is. He just has a problem with authority. And that could be a bad thing.
What about an issue with, you know, just awareness of your situation, your surroundings? Maybe the fact that you were supposed to be a first-round pick, dropped to the fifth, that happens, so be it. Then you go to the Cleveland Browns, who picked up a quarterback in the third round, who also in that same quarterback room have a quarterback who's getting paid a lot of money to not play football because of legal issues. I mean, no awareness of your situation. Even like you could perform all, you know, you could be the best quarterback on the field at practice, performing and earning those first starter reps. But if you're doing stuff like this, and the Browns are already been burnt off of a player and legal issues, I mean, come on, man. Come on.
I mean, Griffin's not wrong. I didn't even factor in Deshaun Watson. But we said it a million times. After he slipped to the fifth, some of the stuff that Deion said, some of the ways they were talking about the draft, they're in denial. Like, there is no legit reason. That, you know, for why he slipped. There were legit reasons. The entire league told you they had reasons. You're not a victim. It's not just Deion hate. They looked at him as a guy who was flawed on the field and maybe questionable from a character standpoint. And I know people get insulted by, you know, oh, you're questioning a character? Well, it's stuff like this. But to Griffin's point, you're not on your last legs, but you have to be on your best behavior, like in all facets. And did he ever have to be on his best behavior to have those quarterback jobs, the starting gig with his dad? No. It's a whole new world. You're not with Daddy anymore.
It's been very.
I mean, we see Willie. We see this in real life all the time. People who are connected, who get jobs that are way above where they should be, right? We know. You know, families rule, connections rule. I mean, we've both worked with people who are like, dude, you don't get it. Like, I don't care who your dad is, your mom is, your family is. Like, at some point, your welcome's going to run out. And the NFL ain't just any average job, right? Connections are one thing. Pedigree is one thing. But, man, if you can't fulfill your duties and be responsible on and off the field, there's not a whole lot of patience.
His life has been very enabling. It's going to run out. It's going to run out. And another month is going to be a big wake-up call.
By the way, how dumb, too. Now he's going to have to, at some point with the media and with the Browns, maybe the Browns will have to make a statement, he's actually going to have to address this. I mean, how unnecessary is this? What nonsense. But you're going to have to do it because you're the one who put yourself in the situation. Again, Shedeur Sanders, we find out, got popped for doing 101 in the 60. That was less than 2 weeks after he got a ticket for doing 91 and a 65. In between, he no-showed a court date. His brother has a history of basically thumbing his nose at the justice system. So, not good times. Damon Arnett's in the news, speaking of. And nothing Shedeur has done is, like, lives up to Damon Arnett. He's got his own set of problems. And another guy who I don't think – well, you know what? Just because you're not – wealthy doesn't mean you can't be enabled by people around you, right? Damon Arnett always seemed like the kind of guy who just wasn't going to get it until he hit rock bottom. Now, he did just sign a deal with the Texans. I hope rock bottom hit him. You know what I mean? And he gets it because he's probably an NFL player. Amazingly, he was not a first-round pick. He shouldn't have been, right? You remember when the Raiders did it. They took him in the first round, and people were like, wow, that seemed like a stretch, man. He was listed by a lot of organizations as a second and third round pick. Then a couple years later, Mike Mayock's like, oh, well, we knew he had issues. I'm like, my God, well, then why'd you reach for him in the first round, and you knew he had issues, and then it blows up? So, long story short, the Texans are going to give him a try.
Yeah, and I've had some personal interactions with Damon and talked to him during his time here. He somewhat ran with a specific circle in – there were some – how do I put it? There were some mutual friendships and that where some people were trained by my son, okay? So there was interaction, and here's all I'm going to say is – He's made some mistakes. He definitely made an ass of himself in acting a fool. And another person here who thought that he was above the law and could come and go and do and say, but I think that just smacked him upside the head and, you know, he was shunned. But he's worked his way back, comes out of the United Football League, and now he's hoping to get in the NFL. What I will say is that Gruden saw something in him. Whether or not he was worthy of being a first-round pick, I can tell you that a lot of the things that plagued Damon Arnett while he was here was not because of a lack of talent, a nose for the ball, the aggressiveness that he brings to the field. It was vices that grabbed him off the field and in his personal life. If he's cleaned those things up and he's in a positive environment, he has a different mindset, he can be a really good football player. I mean, his quote, I'm 28 years old right now with three kids, with a mom and dad that loves me and has my back right now. With coaches, I feel like I've proved a complete turnaround. All the coaches that have been with me right now, I feel like their words would be more valuable because I've said a lot of things in the past. What I would say is what they see on film, that's me being out of commission for 3 years. He said that earlier this offseason. So it sounds like he feels as if he has the support behind him. I don't feel like he never didn't have support. When you have a guy like John Gruden as your backup, we all know the support that dude, when he brings it and he backs you, he's loyal to you. I just think that Damon did way too much damage to his body, his mind, his soul, his brain, chemically, off the field. So let's just hope and pray that, hey, you know, this is a totally different dude than that class that came out, you know, that we were talking about earlier with Henry Ruggs. He was a completely different character, wasn't savory, but if he's better, he will definitely be he can be a positive attribute to somebody's defense. It's just a matter of how he handles his business off the field.
To your knowledge, were Ruggs and Arnett buddies?
I don't know. I will say this. Damon Arnett kept – I know who Damon Arnett – that mutual circle that we're talking about, I do know somebody that was with him, and he's now retired from the NFL after and pursuing a rap career after marrying a WNBA player. They were close.
Okay. I don't know who that is. I don't know if you know this, but Darren Waller.
Oh, coincidence.
He's going to be playing in the Battle for Vegas softball game.
Yep.
Golden Knights against the Raiders. Some of the names are out with Brock Bauer's team. He's a captain. What an honor for a second-year player. Captain for the Silver and Black. Jack Besh, A.J. Cole, Daniel Carlson, Thayer Munford Jr. What's he going to play? Is he a first baseman? Big fella?
Catcher.
Aiden O'Connell, Jeremy Chin, Darren Waller, part of the team.
Sincere McCormick.
Sincere McCormick. I skipped over that name.
Eric Stokes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're just waiting on the Golden Knights team. We're waiting to see.
Who are some old Knights you'd like to have come back, you know, with the theme of Waller coming back to play?
Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
He'll be a fan favorite. I have to wonder, because I think he's done it before once he left, I have to wonder if newly crowned Stanley Cup champion Nate Schmidt will return. He was always a fan favorite in the outfield. If I'm not mistaken, didn't he make some crazy catch over the wall one time? So I think will Jonathan Marchessault come back and play in this? I have to wonder if Riley Smith is waiting to see if he's going to get signed before he was the original captain of this. This was his brain trust.
I think it's been pretty clear in the past that put aside management decisions when players go bye-bye, that players are cool, one, to take part in a charity, two, to be around guys they played with. Right, and you just put all that stuff aside.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's a lot of guys, like Marc-Andre Fleury told me after game one, we chatted for a little bit, and he told me a lot of people think that he sold his house. He still has a house here. So, I mean, like Pete DeBoer, I think he might be in town. He has a house here.
Well,
so,
Waller went to the Giants. He was obviously still very connected to the community.
He's definitely, yeah. So, I mean, there are people that, you know, Golden Knights. I mean, I have to wonder. There are WNBA players I know that never even played for the Aces that they live here during the offseason. So there's professional athletes have made this their home for a lot of reasons.
You know, we never talked about Waller in the story that came out just a couple days ago, him doing a podcast. Did you see that one? Where he said the breaking point for him in his career in the NFL was when the Giants rolled him out there as a fullback. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah,
bro. What am I doing? That's what he said. He's like, what am I doing here? I'm playing fullback?
Does that say something bad about him?
No, it doesn't, because you know what it is? We tell people this away from professional athlete, right? As a human being, especially someone who's an addict and you go through therapy, mental health therapy and addiction, AA, NA, one of the key things that we tell, or we're told, I should say we tell, we're told, me, my therapist, set boundaries. So in your professional life, right, Steve, with you as a radio host, you know, you come across a lot of walks of life, sponsors, guests. At some point over a 30-year career in broadcasting or whatever it's been, you've set boundaries. Okay, I've learned my lesson. This is how it's going to go with my guests. This is how it's going to go with this. That's a boundary.
Or maybe certain things I'm not willing to do anymore.
Okay. So
which I think everyone should do.
And he didn't give them an ultimatum.
If something makes you unhappy...
He put an ultimatum on himself, and he set a boundary. What am I doing? So, okay. I'm not going to threaten you and say, hey, no, this is what I'm doing, or else. He just probably just said, okay, I'm done.
364-1100, 364-1100. We got Steel Panther in town. Ticketmaster.com is where you can grab your tickets for two different nights at the House of Blues, August 16th, August 22nd. Caller 7 right now. We got tickets to go see legendary Steel Panther metal band. A lot of comedy as well. 364-1100, caller 7.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Put your hand in there, dude.
Game 6, NBA Finals tipped off. No scoring of note. I'll say that. It's 2-1. We're hanging at Jackson's Bar and Grill. Flamingo and Jones here on this Thursday. Come on down. Happy hour's going on right now. Cool $5 specials on a bunch of different drinks. And, of course, we tell you all the time about the famous steaks here. $20 on the one-pound ribeye and $20 on the garlic marinated bistro.
Let you know how it is tomorrow.
Filet. You doing a steak?
I'm going to run it up on you.
Oh, is that right?
I'll let you know tomorrow during the 4 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Be coming live from the MUA.
Good deal.
As you call it.
Go in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I saw a story today that I hadn't seen the documentary on cheerleading where they talked about NFL cheerleaders and the abuse, mistreatment they get. And I guess a recent update was that the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders got a significant raise. They now get $75 an hour when in the past they were getting $15 an hour. How is that even possible? Is that the norm in the industry?
I don't know if it's the norm in the industry, but I do know that it doesn't pay the bills. It's not. It's a stepping stone. The NFL, the NHL, it's a part-time gig. They make more money on their appearances than they do performing at a game.
So what, right? I'm guessing that was I'm not saying so what to you, but I'm guessing that was the pitch by the Cowboys and their managers. Like, oh, you're going to make a lot of money on the side. Okay. Pay
well,
me.
That's where it's
worth. Like, oh, you can do this for free. Like, no.
No, the $15 an hour, I think, is game day, which is crappy, too.
Which is, what are they there for, like, six hours? These are, like, the elite of the elite. Right. They're world famous. And they're, you know, they work for 6 hours. Here's $90 after taxes. We're getting down to 60.
Right,
$60 to freaking what?
And it's probably, well, yeah. I don't know if it's independent contracting work. They're getting $10.99, but they're getting a lot more because I know that I have friends who have thrown birthday parties for their kids, toddlers, and they're big Golden Knights fans. And I gave them two names of Golden Knight cheerleaders, and they want a chance, and you can actually, you call the entertainment section of the team, and if you please send these two cheerleaders and chance, and then there's a cost behind it. And they make more money off those appearances than they do on game night.
According to NBC Sports Boston, in 2022, NFL cheerleaders typically earned $150 a game.
150. So 10 hours.
Well, I think other teams maybe paid a little bit more, but not much.
Yeah,
is there some kind of cheerleading league?
It looks like they're
starting. That's happening?
They're starting up. The Pro Cheer League, Steve.
Really? Okay, I'm not mocking on it. I was just making a case that cheerleaders need to make a lot more money.
Build is the first professional cheerleading league for athletes 18 and older designed to give cheerleaders the chance to compete, to chance to keep competing after college. Varsity Spirit starting a professional cheerleading league that promises to pay athletes joining the crowded niche sports market that already includes softball, volleyball, 3-on-3 basketball, lacrosse, indoor football, and more, clamoring for both fans' attention and their dollars. So Athletes Unlimited is one of those pro sports leagues that we've seen thrive after 5-6 years now with softball, lacrosse, volleyball, and basketball. And then this past spring, Major League Baseball agreed to partner up, and instead of the Athletes Unlimited softball season, where it's like 4 weeks, and they play based off fantasy points, and at the end of each week, the four new captains, whoever that was on the leaderboard based off these fantasy points, they pick new teams based on, so at any given time, you could be hitting a walk-off home run off the pitcher, and then the next week, you two are on the same team. Same thing with basketball. That debuted here in Las Vegas. Now Major League Baseball invested $1 million. Now they're doing the actual AU softball league. So we're seeing this grow more and more, and now there's a professional cheerleading league. Bill Seeley, president of Varsity Sport based in Memphis, Tennessee, sees plenty of opportunity for all these sports to succeed. The cheer league's advantage comes from the sport's growth since the 1970s, along with Varsity's own fan base through its cheerleading, dance, team camps, events, and shows.
Back in the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Adrian Peterson, former NFL running back, monster size athlete. Like I've told you before, probably the strongest hands I think I've ever shook in my life. He's massive mitts. Poker night fight. Card dispute leads to blows. How'd the fight go, Griffin?
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you watched Adrian Peterson back during his boxing debut against Le'Veon Bell, where Le'Veon Bell knocked him out, it kind of went similarly to that. This random guy in the video looked like, you know, him and Peterson were squaring off, both starting off at the table, and then it moved as the fight, and both men were kind of getting held back, but they were coming at each other, moved all around the room. Finally, when the two men get together and they get close enough, the guy gets Adrian Peterson's chin multiple times, drops him a little bit. Adrian Peterson gets back up. He's still going in this video, but oh my goodness, AP, if you're going to be caught on camera fighting, you got to put out a good performance, especially when it's a casual you're fighting. It's not another former running back. It's not a boxer.
Normie.
It's a normie.
Well, you never know, but you never know who a normie is. You know what I mean?
That
you
is
never
also
know who
true.
Can fight. And the guy looked like he was about 5'10", 5'9". And didn't look like he was afraid of Adrian Peterson. And like you said, he got a couple of shots in on the chin. It wasn't like he knocked him down, but he was competitive. They were competitive.
You don't want it to be competitive as Adrian
no,
Peterson?
It shouldn't be.
No.
Griffin, if you got in a poker night fight and then slipped one in and dropped him, would you just stand over him, look at him, and go, I'm here.
No, I mean, I would probably say that to the police once they came by. I would try to make it seem like, oh, it was an accident. I had no idea. I wasn't trying
self-defense.
To antagonize this guy. Self-defense, exactly. But yes, I would use the Kermit voice, absolutely.
How intense can a poker game get? Pretty damn intense. When you're losing money or losing whatever fake money, and then there's some trash talking, I could see. We've seen a lot of dust ups in high level poker.
Have you ever had a poker night?
No, I'm not. I'm an idiot, so I don't play poker because I really am a mental midget. I lack the mental capacity to concentrate for that long. I'm also a wimp, so I'm very flighty. Very self deprecating, apparently. As well.
Here's the thing: I've only ever had one poker night. Many people, for whatever reason, think that I was sandbagging. When I say, like, I still to this day don't remember from that night.
Card shark.
I don't know how to play. Like, I can't remember how to play, but once I'm in the game and in the groove, I can bluff with the best of them. It was a mix of media, folks, at an ESPN on-air personality's house. And
really?
When it all came down to it, there were only two people left, and we agreed because the person that I was left with had a date, and he didn't want to be late, so we agreed to split what was left instead of playing for it all.
Are you now mad that you didn't follow through? And
no. It wasn't
get the
high,
victory.
It wasn't high stakes, but it was – I walked out with money.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Coastal Carolina and LSU are playing for the College World Series Championship. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, must be livid. These are the exact cases that they would love to avoid, even letting the Coastal Carolinas of the world into the tourney. And you remember, Coastal Carolina also was the team that kind of got into it, not the team itself, but the school with the Florida coach. That guy was all freaking hopped up and fired up. And the Coastal Carolina coach, after the Florida coach bullied them, and bully a school representative, was like, that is ridiculous and out of control. So
I will just say Sankey's probably happy that he's got Libby Dunn to help promote.
Because
he has been there.
I'm rooting for Coastal Carolina. So
that's fine.
There's nothing better than the little guy with the smaller budget being able to pull off the upset.
Yep.
Thanks to Jackson's Bar and Grill and Paula, the GM here, and Brian, the owner, for housing the show. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks, but it's a great place to come to. Bars filling up. Dining rooms are getting pretty full, but there's still room. You can get that $20 one-pound ribeye, $20 for the garlic-marinated bistro filet. It's a full menu. I mention the steaks all the time. It's a great full menu. Breakfast from midnight until 4 p.m. Get on down here. Jackson's.